This is the audio portion where we'll talk about essentially a prescriptive easement, or that's an easement by adverse possession, essentially, I think is the best way to put it. And this is the, and I'm going to apologize, the Vollenhauer versus Sony case, or Sony case. And here, Vollenhauer, who ends up becoming the plaintiff, owns a front lot. In some ways, I think about this as maybe like a forward-facing part of a business that faces a street, and then behind it is a back lot that is essentially a parking lot for a bank. So maybe the bank gets parking that kind of goes around the corner or something of the bank that's behind Vollenhauer's property. And then behind that is the actual alleyway where people will deliver things. And in 74, Vollenhauer opens a restaurant. We got to get things in the restaurant. And so what happens is these big trucks will pull up in the alleyway and cut across this parking lot, which essentially is the bank's lot, and deliver stuff to Vollenhauer. And so you can think about Vollenhauer or his employees or her employees. They're walking across this bank parking lot to go get this stuff and get it out of the trucks and take it into the restaurant. In 78, the restaurant closes for a period of time. They actually put it out to somebody else. But they reopen the restaurant in June of 82. In 84, they actually sell the restaurant but keep the property, and Inlo owns the restaurant. So in some ways, we've got this kind of landlord-tenant type of relationship maybe going. And then in January of 1988, the bank ends up building a fence around the parking lot. But puts a gate in there for Vollenhauer to go through to go get the deliveries to take to the business, the restaurant. Sony ends up buying the bank's lot in 98 and says, okay, no more. Sorry, Vollenhauer, I'm not going to let you keep trouncing across my parking lot to bring in your restaurant wares that are there. And so Vollenhauer is going to sue Sony to say, no, actually, I've got a right-of-way across your property. I've got an easement. So what type of easement would this be? This would be an affirmative easement. It would probably be the appurtenant part for the benefit of the dominant land would be Vollenhauer's property. The burdened or servient land that's got the right-of-way across it would be the parking lot. It would have been nice to have had this in writing, but it's not in writing. That's what it would have been nice to have had happen initially between Vollenhauer and the bank. We can have an easement by implication, because we don't have common ownership initially and it gets broken apart, creating this necessity for a right of way. Particularly because it looks like the usage here really doesn't get started until Vollenhauer has his restaurant open and we've already got what might have been a singular piece of land split apart in two. And if we were looking at easement by necessity, most jurisdictions would require absolute necessity. There are probably other ways to get goods into your restaurant than having to walk across the bank's lot. Maybe I've got a double park in front, etc. When we say absolute necessity, those courts mean absolute necessity. I'm not sure whether we would even reach the level of reasonable necessity. And even if we did reach the level of reasonable necessity, most jurisdictions, although this was not the case in Thomas versus Primus, would still require that common ownership initially for us to find an easement by necessity. So we're in this problem where we don't have an easement by writing, we can't find an easement by implication or an easement by necessity. So Vollenhauer's claim is going to be that they've got an easement by prescription, which essentially is like adverse possession, but instead of actually owning the property, because if we were to claim we adversely possessed a part of the lot, it would mean that, look, that exclusively is mine, I'm meeting all my requirements, and now I own it. Here, via adversity or hostility, I'm going to create a right of way for myself. And so this is what Vollenhauer is going to try to do. If you go to slide two, we learn about an easement by prescription, and it's based on this loss grant theory. And I think the loss grant theory is this view that just there was an easement that was there. Maybe it was oral, not written, kind of like we had in Thomas versus Primus. But all this time has passed. The grant has been lost. But we still want to kind of mop up old claims. And just because we've lost the grant doesn't mean that the person who got the grant doesn't have an easement. And for us to have a loss grant theory, the traditional requirements are that it's got to have open usage that's continuous without the owner. And here the owner of the burdened landowners consent. And it's really, quite frankly, based on adverse possession. When we say openly, it's got to be open and notorious. When we say hostile, this is where we're going to have without owner's consent. When we say continuous use, this is basically our continuous and uninterrupted. And we're going to use that same statutory period, that same statute of limitations that we used earlier for adverse possession. We're going to use that for easement by prescription. Now, some jurisdictions will have a specific statute of limitation for easement by prescription, but a lot of times people will use the same statute. So here in California, they're using the five-year statute, which is the statute that they also use for adverse possession. And the big thing is, do you notice which requirement is missing? The requirement that's missing is exclusivity. Because with an easement by prescription, it's not exclusive, because who's also using the land? The owner of the land is using the land. Here it would be the bank. The bank is allowing its customers to park on the lot. This is why I couldn't perfect an adverse possession claim, because even though Vergenhauer maybe was open, notorious, hostile, continuous for the statutory period, it wasn't exclusive because the landowner was actually using the land that was there. And so a lot of times we don't have that exclusivity, we might still be able to create an easement by prescription. So this takes me to slide three, and where the big question the court has, because we've got our five-year period from that time in 82 when they reopened till the gate was put in place there in 88, was whether the actions by Vergenhauer were really hostile and adverse to the bank. And essentially the question becomes is, do they need to expressly claim their right? Do they need to say for an easement by prescription to the bank, hey, guess what? I'm taking this for me. This is hostile to you. And the courts say for easement by prescription, what we're really going to look at is evidence that the owner did not expressly consent to the action. So what does this mean? The easy way to defeat an easement by prescription claim would have been a couple days in, bank sees Vergenhauer trotting across the parking lot to get those goods out of the truck. And the bank person says, hey, you know what? It's fine. You can do that. I give you my permission. Now they're doing it with the owner's consent. We're losing one of those requirements for, it would even be for adverse possession, but also for easement by prescription. And so here there was no express permission, right? The bank never came out and said, you can do this. If the bank had come out and said, you can't do this, then the bank needed to make it stop during that statutory period. But we don't end up having this express consent, so we do have hostility. And so the question becomes is, right, is the gate enough evidence of consent? Well, here they find out that adverse possession is perfected before the gate takes place. And probably the gate would have defeated of the easement by prescription. I now say, okay, look, I've got the gate. I put the gate. I've got a place for you to open and close it, right? And now we're kind of pushing on the adverse possessor or the easement by prescription individual to have to really say, no, this is not being done under your permission. I'm taking it for me as an easement by prescription. Here's a quote from the case that I like, right? You must unfurl your flag on the land and keep it flying, right? So we're going to put a heavy burden on this easement by prescription, the person who's gaining the benefit, to push back against anything that might be suggested as consent. So even though we say no expressed consent, here I think the court maybe would even interpret that gate as having consent on their part. But it turns out that we perfect easement by prescription prior to the gate being placed. And so by the time the gate is being placed, they can't keep that gate closed. They need to allow Vergenhauer to go across, because now Vergenhauer has an easement by prescription. What about the other requirements? I think those are easily met. Open and notorious. Am I using that right of way to an alleyway to a restaurant like a true owner would use a written easement? Yeah, I sure am, during business hours, doing it whenever I would be doing it. Is it continuous and uninterrupted? Right. Again, we need to do it in context. Doesn't mean that Vergenhauer's got to be running back and across all the time. They just need to do it regularly, like somebody would do it to get stuff out of trucks that are delivering for a restaurant. And it's for the statutory period, right, for the 5 years. And so then the question becomes is, okay, great, how long does the easement last? Now, so we didn't mention this explicitly, but if we did an easement by implication or an easement by necessity, there the easement actually lasts, with easement by implication, forever, because the theory is that the easement was put in place by implication. It was implied that it was needed there. ease it by necessity. Once the necessity goes, some jurisdictions say then that extinguishes the easement. An easement by prescription is like an easement by implication. It is the lost grant theory. The idea being is that we actually have an express agreement to create the easement. It's just not in writing. And over time, we've lost that grant. And so here the easement would last forever, just like anything else. We can start to think of some problems here. The fact that it's not in writing. Where does it end? Where does it begin? What are the exact terms of use of the easement? Can they only use it to get in goods from the truck? Or can they start using it for other things as well? And these are the problems about some of these easements that can be created without a writing. But an easement by prescription, just like adverse possession, can come up. I can get one created even without a transfer of any kind of money from one way or the other, and even without a writing.